Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, fully independent fourth-generation family office right here in Sun City to bring you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We're aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And I definitely think we have some new stuff for you today. But Sam is back. I think that's what we're going to hear about first.
Well, yeah, Sam, welcome back. I know you are a world traveler and we want to hear a little bit about it. But first, thank you to Matt McClure. That was wonderful. I mean, for him to, he's never been an active participant in our show before. So hopefully it wasn't too shocking compared to the legitimate financial shows that he handles. So, but thank you so much to Matt. It went really well. And, you know, I mean, obviously we got to chat a little bit before and after and wonderful man. So. Thank you for having him hook us up. And welcome back, Sam. Where the heck were you? What were you doing? What's up?
Thank you, guys. It's good to be back. Well, I've got a few more stamps in my United States passport book. My wife and I went to France for the 2024 Summer Olympics. So we spent quite a bit of time in Paris. We also made it down to Marseille, which is the second largest city in France on the south coast. Did some hiking in a national park down there in France, which was beautiful, unbelievable. The French beaches definitely live up to their reputation. I'll let you fill in the gaps on what that might mean. And went back to Paris.
Oh, I'm picturing it right now, Sam.
Went back to Paris for some more Olympics and then spent the last few days in London, England, before we flew on home. Picked up a bit of a bug on the way back. That's a long journey, and I feel like you almost always get sick after that much travel, especially being around that many people, but it's good to be back in the United States. I love traveling and seeing how other people do it. Just kind of resetting, focusing and realizing what's important, which is your loved ones and the people you spend your time with. And, I do always appreciate coming back though with consistent air conditioning and consistent ice and the things that they don't do over in Europe. And
Europe is nice. It's good to be home.
Yeah.
So what games did you see? How hard is it to get tickets?
So the planning was about 2 years of build up to this. And so we did some work to make sure that we were going to have tickets to the games. There are a number of events that were happening just publicly, from like swimming in the Seine to cycling and running in the streets. So on the first full day we were there, we actually managed to see the women's race walk. I don't know if you've ever seen race walking before. It looks pretty silly. We started, just observing the events, and it was very like tongue-in-cheek comical. And then by the end of it, on the final kilometers, people are like 8, 9, 10 rows deep on the streets cheering on these Olympians race walking as fast as they can with the Eiffel Tower as a backdrop. So that was phenomenal. We also saw tennis, the semifinals and the finals, beach volleyball. I saw a soccer match between Spain and Morocco, which was unbelievable to see the energy that those two fan bases brought in a big track and field event as well. I got to hear the Star Spangled Banner play in Paris, which was so cool to see Americans win a gold medal. It was an unbelievable experience. Everybody there, from so many different countries, you get to talk to people. Thankfully, a lot of people know English. And so I was able to talk to people from Brazil and Morocco and all over parts of Europe. A lot of the Northern European countries really came out and supported their teams. And, everyone's rooting for their home country, but it's very supportive of all countries. And it was a nice break from some of the experiences we get over here in the US. It seems all very polarizing all the time. But we're here to get back into that today, I'm sure. So it was a really good experience. We're already thinking about how we can maybe make it out to an event for the LA Olympics in 2028. Very cool.
I was going to ask you about that. if you're going to start planning that one. That'd be cool.
I would like to. It was incredible just seeing the people who are the best at what they do compete, and the fan support is very, very wholesome, and it was good.
Well, and I wanted to go to the breakdancing, but I couldn't get tickets.
Yeah, I didn't make it to any of the breakdancing, although there were a lot of people talking about it over there. It was tough to follow, you know, being on the ground. Mostly we were going to events and finding the next place to eat, but it was,
how
it
hard
was fantastic.
Was it to navigate? I mean, we have so many games going on, so many people there for it. I mean, was it just packed, the city? Was it able to get around, or?
What typically happens is the Parisians leave Paris during the busy months of the year when most of the tourists come in. And Paris didn't get as many visitors as they were initially expecting for the Olympics. So, I mean, yeah, it was crowded at times. If you go to the busier areas, it's going to be pretty packed. But, you know, I have AT&T here in the United States, and they have an international data plan. You just pop it on. And in most areas, Google Maps was very useful at, like, telling me which place to go and which station to go to and how to get from one place to another. And if you've been over to Europe or even parts of the Northeast, or even like Chicago has major train stations, like getting around by train is so convenient over there. You just hop on and high speed trains can take you from place to place quickly. So logistically, I would say it went very well. It was very secure. They took a lot of the roads that are often like highly trafficked, and there was military police from all these different European nations there, like holding assault weapons and stuff. So nothing. I saw there were maybe a few like sabotage attacks on like train lines and infrastructure in other parts of France, but I didn't experience anything disturbing. Maybe like one or two little protests that didn't amount to anything, but it felt very secure and safe. It wasn't too hard to get around, and I'd say Paris did a really good job. And excited to see it come back to the United States in 2028.
Nice. Well, and switch gears for a second. You said you were in England after that. I mean, we're hearing that there's a lot of rioting going on in England and a lot of free speech tamping down. Did you see any weirdness there?
I didn't see anything about that, although it was my first time in London. I will say it's a much more diverse city than I expected, and it is a very clean city. I mean, the metro was running, the underground was run very well. You know, after being in parts of France, like parts of Paris, especially Marseille, like port towns are typically pretty nasty. But I mean, London was nice, very clean, easy to get around. You know, maybe I'm biased because I speak English. I don't speak French, and it was easier for me to communicate with people and get from place to place. But I didn't see any disturbances in England. Although I will say my wife and I went to see the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. That was one of the things I wanted to experience. And I was shocked with how many people came out to see that on a Sunday morning. It was cool to experience, but at the end, I was like, this is kind of a cruddy band, these guys with silly black hats. And, you know, I saw it happen, but I was always a bit underwhelmed by that.
It was a good tradition's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Well, we're glad to have you back. We did miss you, and so welcome back. So I guess I'll switch gears one more time. Did you make your way over to Afghanistan before you return home? Because, I mean, as long as we're on the globe, I don't know if you heard last week's show, but at the end of it, we got to a story that it transcends between geopolitics, finances, politics. Apparently, Afghanistan is alive and well, even though we withdrew, left a bunch of equipment there. And by the way, last week when we talked about, we kind of did a little teaser cliffhanger on a Zero Hedge article I have ready. So I didn't realize, but between last week's recording and this week's recording, they had a big, huge parade over there. The Taliban had a parade, and it showcased, I guess this was 2 days ago, it showcased a lot of the equipment we left behind. They had Russian helicopters. They were our helicopters, but they're Russian helicopters. And they had those flying, and they had, you know, strings of our equipment, U.S. equipment. So I didn't even know about that last week when we ended the show recording. But it kind of reminded me what a cluster that whole thing was. I mean, anybody that served in the military, that upset them. It's like, I mean, we're not supposed to, you know, bow down to the rest of the world. I mean, we're supposed to be a strong nation. We've always been the world's police. were certainly the world's pocketbook. So it was very, yeah. I mean, looking at the pictures you're putting up online right now, I know this is radio, so you'll have to trust me. But, you know, looking at these parade pictures, and I did watch a video, and it made me half sad and half angry. You know, I know that next year they're talking about bringing back the draft. They're talking about even drafting women. So, and look at the way that the world's being run right now. It's pathetic. So I wanted to bring that up, but to follow up with where we left off, the money part of the whole Taliban thing, this is an article from Zero Hedge on August 4th. Taliban gets $239 million in U.S. aid after State Department fails to vet recipients. So, I mean, you know, the bottom line of some of the things that we read every week, we're broke. You know, actually, no, we're not. Broke is when you don't have any money. Broke is zero. We are $35 trillion in the hole. And by the way, make sure you go back on podcasts, wherever you get those. Go to our website, call us, we'll email it to you. Listen to last week's show. We had a good laugh about how the government's working on a $1 trillion platinum coin. I can't even say it without a little chuckle. So that's the solution to our debt. You know, I mean, we're the dumbest. This is getting really out of hand. Today, I'm reading about the beloved icon in the country, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Did you hear that the Department of Defense paid him the money like into his account was like $5 million to do 5 Instagram posts to basically try to get people to join the military? And apparently he got zero, like nobody signed up because of The Rock's two out of the 5 posts. And then he hasn't done the other 3. He got the $5 million in advance. And this is just what I heard this morning. I haven't dug into it yet. So I always try to vet and verify, but, you know, do your research. I just don't care. I mean, that's the kind of frivolous baloney we're doing financially in this country. But back to Afghanistan for a moment. So this Zero Hedge article, again, on the 4th of August, less than a year after Judicial Watch reported that the Taliban has established fake nonprofits to steal, speaking of vetting and verify, hey, government, why don't you do some of that? Nonprofits to steal millions of dollars in U.S. aid to Afghanistan. We stop there. We pulled out of Afghanistan. We left all of our equipment. We left people to die there. So what the, when we're still giving them money, are you really going to be able to explain that one to me? So a new investigation reveals that the terrorist group has also received hundreds of millions in development assistance from Uncle Sam because the State Department fails to properly vet award recipients. At least $329 million have likely filled the coffers of the extremists running the Islamic Republic since 2021 U.S. military withdrawal. Again, parade, because 3 years later they're celebrating with all of our stuff and their newfound money. According to a report published by the Special Inspector General for the Afghanistan Reconstruction, we actually have a Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. You know, your Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare are broke. You know, they're going to cut your Social Security. I don't think anybody left doesn't think that's the case in the future. But just remember that we have a SIGAR. That's actually the acronym in this report, S-I-G-A-R. So the money was dispersed by the State Department divisions. Let me fast forward. Investigators found that the State Department failed to comply with its own counterterrorism partner vetting requirements in Afghanistan. Let me get to the very end. Besides establishing fraudulent non-governmental organizations, those are the NGOs. If NGO sounds familiar to you, we've covered it fairly extensively over the last few years on our show, 2.5 years worth now. NGOs are how, you know, people say, well, our government is not giving money to people, newcomers. You can't say illegal aliens anymore because now they're all gearing up to vote and be one of us. They're integrated. But anyway, so NGOs. So our government can give money to an NGO or to a church, and then in turn, the church can give money to the newcomers. So that's why that word looks familiar to you. So to loot big chunks of $3 billion, you know, we're just talking millions, now we're into the billions, in humanitarian aid that the U.S. has given Afghanistan since the Biden administration's abrupt military withdrawal. So you're telling me $1 billion a year since we withdrew, $3 billion has been given to Afghanistan. All right. I thought it was all Ukraine. I'm glad to know my tax dollars are going to more than one country, because that's diversification. And we believe in that as financial people. That money has flowed a little bit more, Anthony. I know you hate being read to, but this is so fun to me. That money has flowed through the U.S. Agency for International Development, the USAID, a famously corrupt State Department arm that got $63.1 billion for foreign assistance and diplomatic engagement this year. And the U.S. Agency for Global Media, the old USAGM, the government's international broadcasting services. Sam, can we get picked up in Afghanistan? Can we start doing a show in Afghanistan? We'll just repeat the shows from here because we talk about them enough, so they'll feel recognized. The international broadcasting services that aims to inform, engage, and connect people around the world in support of freedom and democracy. Anybody? Sam? Anthony, any of you want to walk me off the ledge? All this money is going to support freedom and democracy. Do you think, why don't you look at Venezuela? Let's go all around the world. You know, I did hear that there's a lot of weirdness going on in England. I heard a man who's like 61 years old. I just heard this yesterday. 61-year-old man just got put in prison for 18 months because he made a couple faces, you know, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, who knows what platform posts. This is just yesterday. I mean, the entire world is insane, and I don't get it. It was nice hearing you talk about France and the Olympics and England because it was uplifting and you had a good experience. And there are, you know, we focus on the bad news. There's a reason for that. We have 1 hour a week to sound alarms and get people off their couch and looking for news. And why do we do that? Just because it's you know, the train wreck. You know, why do you watch a hockey game just to see the fight? Why do you watch NASCAR just to see the car crash into the wall and set on fire? We want you prepared and not scared. So we have to scare you a little bit enough for you to know that there are issues, and then you can prepare. So there is a method to this madness. I believe the 2.5 years that we've been on here, the culmination of our work, didn't that sound pretty impressive? The culmination of our work, it all will start making more sense in the next few months up to the next couple of years. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on. October, the big BRICS meeting, we've been telling you about that for 6 months. It's on October 22nd. It's on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. That's when they're going to talk about the new currency. They call it the BRICS basket. So there's a little bit of news that I have to figure out a way to find out more about it. There is a orchestrated effort, apparently, for roughly 100 nations that are either in the BRICS or trying to get in the BRICS or want to be in the BRICS nations that are looking at doing something called Night of the Switch. So this is brand new to me. I just heard about this a couple days ago, and it's on my list to research, Night of the Switch. So what it is, because people are saying, well, yeah, we've been de-dollarizing the U.S. currency. Saudi Arabia ended a 50-year compact to, you know, change oil with the U.S. dollar. So they're saying nothing's happened. Anthony, you've been in the office over 6 years. When you got here, you said there's always something to worry about. You're too worried. And I was saying you are correct. Always something to worry about, but never this many. I think I've still been early 6 years later from your arrival, but I'm not wrong. It's all going to happen at once. And I actually think that really starts being known this fall. That's what I think. So anyway, the Night of the Switch, what it is these different countries are talking amongst themselves currently, apparently, and they're going to have a date. It may be unveiled on October 22nd, 3rd, or 4th of the BRICS. I don't know. I can't find anything yet on it. But they're basically all at once going to stop using the U.S. dollar, the broke fiat currency, and they're going to start using their own currencies and whatever the BRICS currency is. So that's frightening to me because that means I was correct, but it's going to hit us more abruptly instead of the erosion of our dollar. And I'm not just talking through inflation and all that. It's going to abruptly end as the world reserve currency. World reserve currencies die. They die slowly. They don't just one day end. And this one may actually just one day end. So we will see. Anthony, do you have any comments on this? I'm trying to get you more involved. It's so hard for me to stop talking.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I'll say I had to navigate two different kinds of currency on my trip because since Brexit, they do not take the euro in the UK. So multiple currencies. That was interesting, getting some cash out of a BNP Paribas ATM in France. I will also say, you know, we're talking about the global media, like kind of some propaganda stuff. I was waiting in line in Boston. We connected through Boston to get processed back into the United States as a U.S. citizen, which I am. And there's a television screen displayed over the line of people who are not U.S. citizens. And it's got a bunch of reasons and stock footage and nice things to say about why you should consider becoming a U.S. citizen, like religious freedom and traveling with a U.S. passport. And it was one of the more interesting things. I was like, knew I was jet lagged from a 7-hour flight, but I felt like I had just stepped into Red Dawn and I was being like fed propaganda from my own country. And I was like, I think all of this is true, but why are they saying it in this way? It's just so interesting.
That, I mean, I wish you would have videotaped that. You need to get that up on the YouTube channel. That's incredible. I mean, it's not shocking. I mean, we've all seen the videos. We've seen videos of like in Chicago's O'Hare Airport, of big areas in the airport blocked off with screens and people sitting on the floor waiting for what, where they're going to go next. And this is weird. This world's weird. I did a presentation on Monday night for a group and my old buddy, Randy Miller, was there and he's very constitutional. And a couple things got brought up. The you know, it was on finances. It was on financial matters. And he did bring up the Constitution. And I did read out of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our amendments. I read Article 1, Section 8, to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights of measures, to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. Well, how does this tie in with foreigners and with all this stuff? We are talking about making a $1 trillion platinum coin. And in our own roadmap, our blueprint of this country financially, it says you can't do that. It's basically the fiat currency. You can't do that. Randy pointed out, if I go further into Article 1, go to Section 10, there's another blurb that says no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. So this, tying all this in, we have rules. So when you bring that up about, you know, encouraging people to get in a different line, and they need to do it quickly, because I have a feeling, I'm not conspiracy theory minded on this one, they need to be registered to vote by the beginning of November. So quick, get your passport. You can show that in the voter line if they make you take ID. Anyway, the whole thing was like everything we're doing with money is illegal. The new platinum coin. I seriously can't think about it without chuckling. It's just that far out of normal. So it's completely illegal. So I don't know. And if you're recruiting people at the airports in Boston, and by the way, you should have gone to Cheers, just because why wouldn't you if you're in Boston? I mean, but to be showing videos, I don't know. I this country's changing fast. So we will see how it plays out. Back to, one other thing that was just, it's not necessarily financial, but one other thing came out of Monday night's meeting when we were talking a little bit about the Constitution and about how to redo this country, to reset it. We need to first try the Constitution. So here's something for you. The First Amendment, which, by the way, is only going to be supported by the Second Amendment. The First Amendment is clearly under fire. You can't say anything you want anymore. You know, they censor you on social media platforms. But anyway, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right. Here's what was kind of got a little bit, you know, heated at Monday night, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. I got a question for you. Where does it say we can peacefully assemble unless COVID comes along? And I only bring this up because part of my nightly research to get ready for the show and maybe my life is I'm watching really closely the CDC, the WHO, the World Health Organization. Apparently, if we get a disease around election time or the fall, you know, because that's cold and flu season, not because it's election season. If that happens, now I'm reading, I was reading about disease X, bubonic plague. Now I'm reading about something called Mpox, capital M, capital P, small O X. And it's a variant of the monkey pox that didn't grow legs a few years ago. So I was thinking it was going to be the avian flu, you know, the bird flu. It's going to jump from a bird to a cow, cow to a person. We're all going to die. But apparently Mpox is thing. So I want to bring all this up because if we have another March of 2020, if they say you need to stay in your house for your own good, it is going to affect our finances again. We're $35 trillion in debt. Are they going to do another PPP loan rollout, you know, to keep my office door open? I mean, how is it going to play out? I don't know. Anyway, Monday. Thank you so much to Cindy and Mike for having us do another presentation. And it was a full room, so it was great to see people there. And Tuesday night, we had the West Valley Men's Networking Group. We had Mike from Frank's Honest Auto finally showed up. So he was a big hit. We had a couple new people. It was great. So, Anthony, we missed you, but being in Flagstaff, you are clearly smarter than the rest of us, and I understand that. Oh, boy. You know what? We ran it into break time already, and I only got to one article. I barely let Anthony talk, so that's good. But, Sam, you got a good bit of microphone time, so you can be Anthony's surrogate today. With that said, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? If you'd like to give us show ideas, ask us questions, set up an appointment, you know, have us forward an article to you, reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com or give us a call, 623-523-0444. So we appreciate being here. You know, we have the YouTube channel. I know behind the scenes, Shelby is working fast and furiously to get up videos and shorts and that sort of thing. So do support us. We always say we're little tiny fish in a big, huge pond and we need your help. So we will be right back. And don't forget, this show is going to air again tomorrow at 1 right here on 960 The Patriot.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. I know you know this, but we greatly appreciate it. It's nice that we're meeting more and more people that are listeners. It's nice that we got a couple listeners over to the West Valley Men's Networking. Did I mention we did that on Tuesday? Great job, Kyle. The guy that takes care of us, he does a good job. And he just numbers us. And at the end of the night, he never messes up whose check is whose check is whom's.
So yeah, anyway. Throne on 67th and Bell has taken very good care of us. We're big fans of the brewery. Plus, they got a couple other locations now. The pizza one on Central is really good.
Pizza? They have pizza at Throne? I'm in. Nice. I did not know this. Well, and, you know, one thing, too, if you're a man, if you're a dude, we are very sexist over at the West Valley Men's Networking Group. But if you're a man and you want to get out and meet people, if you want to meet us, and they have really good food and drink specials and they have Coke, our buddy, we have a buddy named Jason, and he had a day off on Tuesday. He is a letter carrier, so he listens every single week, and he finally showed up, was a big hit. He's got jokes to tell, so they were all dumb, but it was good to see him. I'm going to hear about that, by the way. So, Jason, thanks for joining us. He does not drink alcohol. We do want you to know whether you drink or not. It's a great group. We have a great conversation. So, Jim was there. Our buddy Jim, who owns a print shop. It's small businesses, and there's people that are helping each other. I actually put in an order for new business cards with Jim while I was there. So, and I've been putting off that for a while. So, join us next month. Reach out to us. We'll tell you where, when, what time, all that stuff. Back to real life. Anthony, you sent me a story. You sent it to me says here on the 15th. Well, wait a minute. Today's the 15th. I must have put the wrong date. The article, I'm sorry, I was getting it ready for the 15th. The article you sent me was on the 11th of August from a publication called MoneyWise. The title of this article, Investors Across the U.S. Fear Their Retirement Savings Have Vanished After the California Gold Firm Abandoned Them. I'm going to read a little bit, remind you of it, Anthony, or you want to talk about it? Not read.
I know it is.
Oof, scary. So
it's terrifying. We talk about gold IRAs all the time. We don't like them. It's fine to invest in gold in moderation if you want, but if you're going to have physical gold, you better be in control of it because you can't trust anybody else to. And unfortunately, people that invested through this Beverly Hills firm called the Oxford Gold Group are starting to realize that. So it sounds like the Oxford Gold Group just sold these as physical IRAs to have money deposited with the Equity Trust company in Utah, so not even in California either. And then you have people coming out and saying that they've heard word back that Oxford Gold Group is no longer working with Equity Trust, and nobody can quite figure out where their money's at.
And who do these, it says in the article, but I mean, I could have told you this for the last 26, almost 27 years now in the industry. Who do these people target? Senior citizens. Younger people, and I'm stereotyping, don't generally have as much money. They don't have as much in the way of investable assets. So these companies go after seniors. You can't go on any AM radio and not hear a ton of gold IRA, you know, precious metals, buy gold, buy silver, all this stuff. The commercials are everywhere. So this Oxford Gold Group, you know, who did they hurt? Seniors. You know, we had a client who just moved all of her gold from a gold IRA in a storage situation. She took physical possession. It took us a while. It was a lot of paperwork. It was kind of tough to do, but she now holds her own gold. And I feel a lot safer for her. I feel better. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. Well, let's think about this Oxford and the timing for a second. Right now, it's the quiet before the storm, both, you know, Civil War / revolution and the financial markets and the political season. So if this company is going south now when nothing's wrong, what's going to happen when the you know what hits the fan? You put your money in these companies. You trust that they have it. I've always read that the reserves, these depositories, they don't have anywhere near the gold that they've sold. So there's, you know, paper manipulation with gold and silver. So what if things are under pressure? Whoever you store your gold with or your gold IRA, are you sure they're going to answer the phone? Are you sure they're going to call you back in a timely manner? And with me personally helping this woman get out of a gold IRA and precious metals in her home, and yes, she paid taxes on it. She wanted it in her home. I'm like, good for you. Now she owns that gold. And you want her name and address? Or is that too much personal information? Just kidding. I have it. When the, you know, it hits the fan, I know where to go get gold. But anyway, I think under pressure, if it took weeks, we kept following up on it. We did all the paperwork. It was kind of tough to get her gold. So, and this is in the good times. I think in the bad times, you're going to be sorry if you have a gold IRA, but that's my opinion.
Well, the whole point of gold, too, is to be under the radar, just kind of like the whole point of crypto was to be out of government control. But what are you doing with your physical gold when you're putting into an IRA? It's a government tax code to help you defer taxes. So you're creating more of an issue down the road. So if you're going to have gold and silver, that's kind of the moral of the story is have it in moderation, but you need to control it. I wouldn't trust anybody else with it.
And what makes money move? Everybody knows this. Everybody says this. Fear and greed. If you go back, I don't know what it was, 10 years ago or whatever, when everybody was calling me, I was still doing a lot of mutual fund business back then, and everybody wanted gold and silver. And it was greed. I mean, it was running up very rapidly. So everybody wanted in on that train, and they were buying it. And then a lot of the people that I think, me personally, I thought they were going too heavy. When it started going back down, they all wanted to sell it. This time when you look at fear or greed, you think one or the other. This time it's actually very much both. my conversations with people, especially Monday night, meeting a bunch of people that are conservative leaning financially, morally, spiritually, physically, all that stuff. It's very much both. They are very afraid that our dollar is going to devalue all the way. BRICS is going to take over. They're thinking we're going to tip the $35 trillion in debt. Make sure you make your way over to usdebtclock.org if you want to see that fan spinning like a clock. So, but it's also greed. It's so funny because, you know, it's also a lot of the conversation was on how gold is undervalued, you know, the inflation, the election, all these different influences is going to make gold go up. Silver is grossly undervalued. So, and my thing, what my recommendation, I brought up this Oxford Gold Group. I said, I think if you're going to buy it, you better buy it. If you want to play, if you're doing it just to make money and you want to be able to get in and get out and sell it without finding a buyer, do it with mutual funds. You know, buy these mining companies, buy the, you know, I used to do a lot of Fidelity, Franklin Templeton, you know, American funds never had a good precious metals fund, but a lot of the other companies did. And I was like, buy it. It goes up 10, 15% next quarter. Sell it. Leave your original investment. Buy low, sell high works. If you have the stomach or discipline to do it, most people do not. That's why we will always have a job. So, and speaking of, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because we're talking about seniors and being targets, and we've said this on the show too, because we've firsthand experience with family members, with clients. If this does turn out to be a scam, you know, and not just misappropriation of funds, who's going to protect these clients? Who's going to protect these seniors? And the truth is nobody. You know, we've had to deal with the non-emergency police, adult protective services. We've dealt with attorney generals, all things crimes involving seniors, and nobody is there to help. However, we've mentioned her name a few times on this show. Malia Madrid has started a new petition trying to find that the Golden Rule movement is her new act trying to define or redefine the definition of vulnerable seniors to make it easier for prosecutors to go after these people that are targeting seniors. So I think in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have her on the show, talk more about that. But things really need to change.
They do. And you know what's frustrating to us? I mean, when she says the word all the time, vulnerable adults, I don't think anybody should take advantage of children, senior citizens, animals. Take advantage of Sam, Anthony, and me. Let us fight you. I mean, let us, you know, try to combat your ridiculousness, but leave people in their 60s, 70s, 80s alone. Oh, wait, I'm in my 60s. Leave me the heck alone. Go after Sam and Anthony exclusively. Yeah, no, and she does really good work. She's very passionate. I signed one of her petitions the other day, and you know, Anthony, I can't stand doing anything online with giving out my name or address or signature, but yeah, we need her on here to explain that. So, and we've seen it personally, the worst offenders are generally people's own relatives, which is sad, but it's true. So,
or caretakers coming in and getting themselves put onto powers of attorney and deeds to homes and things like that. So,
yeah, Malia's going to tell you when she's on, she'll tell you a heartbreaking story of that somebody that you trust that wound up, real bad story. I don't even want to give it away, but the ending is tragic, and I'm sure Malia will talk about it. Yeah, so, absolutely. Moving on from the gold and silver, and if you don't have it, you don't own it and all that. Let's talk for a second about some financial matters. So only a week and a half ago, you know, we have the attention span of a gnat in this country. We're such an instant gratification nation, our news feed 24 hours. So a week and a half ago, Bitcoin, I have a screenshot of it. A week and a half ago, it was down to 49,000. I didn't even look today or yesterday, but the last time I looked in, it was at 58. That is one heck of a volatile swing. You know, I mean, you referred to Bitcoin earlier, but let's talk for a second about the markets. Japan was down 12.47% a week and a half ago. It was Monday. It was your birthday, Anthony. I think your birthday had something to do with all the volatile swings. It was Japan was down 12.47%. on the overnight of August 4th into August 5th. Happy birthday, by the way. Anthony is now 34, so he's getting ready for his midlife crisis. So, Japan's back. Like, what the heck happened in Japan? We're all sudden no harm, no foul. And what the heck happened here in the United States? We were talking about an emergency rate cut. People were panicking. They were talking about Kamala Harris and the Harris effect. It was this flurry of people freaking out over the market's going to dump and we're all going to die. And now we're back to 40,000 Dow. The Teflon Dow is back to 40,000, just flying high. So I don't know.
The talk of emergency rate cuts, if there's one down day, is just incredible. Nobody will let this market fluctuate anymore. It only goes up.
It only goes up. You summed up the most perfectly. My entire 2.5 decades in this career, you summed up last week. The market only goes up. When it goes down, all you have to do is have a tantrum and the government will intervene. The government always intervenes. The government is the problem, Ronald Reagan. It's not the solution. I'm here from the government. I'm here to help. Yeah, maybe don't. So yeah, I'm sure you're hearing the new VP hopeful, Tim Walz. He wants to get rid of the First Amendment. He's saying that before you even get to the poll. He said that it doesn't cover hate speech. Yes, it does, Tim. If it's exactly there for hate speech. It protects people that say things you don't want to hear. If all we were able to say was what you wanted to hear, we wouldn't really need the First Amendment now, would we, Timmy? So if you're listening, reach out to me and I'll have a little conversation with you. Let's do a debate on the 10th of September, right before your presumed partner in crime and Trump does theirs. You know, and the other thing, disinformation. So he's saying the First Amendment does not protect you from hate speech and disinformation. I have a question. Who's going to be in charge of what exactly constitutes disinformation? Is it going to be Elon Musk? Is it going to be, I don't know, Klaus Schwab? Is it going to be George Soros? I want to know more about who's going to tell me what's disinformation. So I know that there's a lot of verifiable proof that if you look up Trump assassination, if you put in assassination and you put in T-R-U, you don't get Trump. You get Truman. I mean, you know, the thing we brought to you 6 months ago about, you know, Trump saying the word bloodbath. He was talking about auto manufacturing in this country and people twisted it to him saying there's going to be, you know, civil unrest and war in this country around the election time if he's not elected. God, these people make me angry. So anyway, sorry, that got a little political and I don't mean to. This is insane. You know, one more thing here, let me tie politics with finances. So Harris, the current VP, and I know I do watch Facebook. I think it's a barometer of our society. I think it's important because we're small business owners to have a presence, but I'm watching Facebook and there's a lot of memes going on. So on day one, Harris is going to fix the borders. On day one, this is true, Anthony, this part's true. On day one, she's going to fix the inflation, get the inflation back down. You are the current vice president of the United States, and you're campaigning that you're going to fix the stuff that you just had 3.5 years to fix, but you broke it. So I'm not trying to be too political. I'm talking money right now. You're going to fix
the best defense is why aren't you doing it now?
Correct. You still have what, 3.5 more months before the election? You have 4.5, 5 months. I'm not good with math or numbers or time or space or distance, but you still have plenty of time to fix things. So yeah, you're going to fix things. And by the way, you're flying around in the Air Force too, right? You were in Phoenix. You were in Arizona last Friday and you arrived here from what I heard. I didn't see it. I didn't show up to that one, but I heard that you were here on Air Force too. So my taxpayer dollars, here's political and financial mixed for you, kids. Kamala, if you're listening, maybe you could justify this because I don't get it. You weren't here to check on the borders in Arizona. You didn't make it to the borders. You made it to Glendale, Arizona. You were in a taxpayer-funded airplane. How do I justify that? Instead of sitting in your office, we have a lot of problems. You know, we're still waiting for the big Iranian retaliation of the assassination of a couple weeks ago. You know, there's a big Chinese warship tailing our ships. You know, I mean, there was another little snag this week. You probably didn't hear about it unless you scour the news. But there's a nuclear power plant in Ukraine operated by Russians. You know, there's a very convoluted relationship in Ukraine between Russia and the Ukrainians. I'm learning more and more about. So apparently the Ukrainians did a drone strike on a nuclear power plant. And it was a big one because it's on fire. I guess the fire's out now, but we're still waiting to see if it breached enough for it to cool down and melt down. So Russians operating a power plant in Ukraine, Ukraine's attack it. I mean, every single thing that's going on could lead to a misstep that leads us to a big, huge global blowout. And yet the powers to be that run the most powerful nation in the world, allegedly, are campaigning in Glendale, Arizona.
I was going to make this point when Sam was talking about Paris and meeting all the people there. Because think about this earlier today. Is civil war really even on the table? Or is it more of an uprising in general? You think it's just everybody figuring it out and instead of trying to fight one another, figuring out that it's corrupt governments?
What's a wheelhouse?
I mean, like you said, he just enjoyed everybody, you know. You hang out with people from other countries. They're just people. They're not decision makers. They're not the reasons everything's falling apart. So
I love what you're saying. I mean, I don't know what a wheelhouse is, but I've always heard the expression, you know, that's my wheelhouse. You just went right into my wheelhouse. You're like picking wheels up and throwing around. I think there's just too many things wrong. If it was like England, where the English, the British, the whatever they are over there, if they're being censored on social media, and they're being arrested, and they're being, and people are dying. I mean, still in Venezuela, you know, that's being hidden from the news. When it happens in this country, my problem is back to the your thought. There's always something to worry about versus my thought. You're right, but there's so many now. I think it is going to be civil war. I don't think it's just going to be. I don't think people were too polarized. Black versus white, gay versus straight, has versus have nots. I mean, I say it all the time. Short versus tall. At this point, skinny versus fat. We're too polarized to get smart enough to be you. You are smart enough to say, we're all people. We want to be left alone. We all, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, we all want smaller government. We all want to be able to work and get ahead. We want people your age, Anthony, 34 years of age, to be able to go back to the American dream, where at least you can somehow get your life, where you can get into a home and raise your kids in a home. And you're like, I'm going to put you in a home, you old little... Excuse my language. So, I think we go into civil war. I think it's been awfully quiet with the open borders. You know, they're estimating 10, 11, who knows how many newcomers in the country. I think we're going to have a terrorist attack on our own soil. That's just an opinion. I don't know. But, you know, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, came out and said, watch out for it. So apparently I'm not the only one thinking about it. I think when the financial system implodes, I think when the stock market crashes, I think it's going to be like 2000 and 2008 combined. I think when all this happens, people are going to lose their stuff. I think we go to civil war. And, you know, Sam, maybe you want to see revolution. Revolution and civil war are two different things. Revolution is what we need to have. We need to have another Tea Party. We need to have the $35 trillion in debt government stop sending money to the Taliban, for Pete's sake. Get mad with me. I feel network. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it. Get angry. You guys are young. You're going to be here 30 years longer than I am, trying to sort out borders, healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid, blah, 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 blah. Inflation. Great news. Inflation is still under control. It was only up by 2.9%. Don't make me get into core inflation again, super core. Do you realize these monkeys with suits on, these absolute monkeys, they exclude food and energy? Do you realize some of these numbers exclude housing? I hate to tell you this, kids. When we have deflation, that is something that is good news. When we have lower inflation, you do realize the last 3 years of very high inflation, this is adding 3% more to the already problematic inflation. I mean, if you haven't been paying attention to deeper than channel 3, 5, 7, 12, 10, whatever, you need to know something. There's a lot of businesses shutting their doors. There's credit card defaults are rising. Subprime auto loans are in trouble. Regular auto loans are in trouble. The bankruptcies, look into it. Denny's is the latest one I read. Denny's is closing locations. Hooters. The world is over. Hooters. Joanne Fabric, who gives a crap. Back to Hooters for a second. Hooters, for Pete's sake. Dollar stores are closing. Big Lots. I don't know what Big Lots are. I know they're expensive. I thought Big Lots was cheap. And years ago, I went into one. I'm like, holy cow. This is expensive. So Big Lots are closing. Red Lobster. Red Lobster's closing. There's boycotts. Remember Bud Light? Is that still a thing? Bud Light boycott because they used a I don't know, they used a spokesperson people didn't like. Now I'm hearing all kinds of stuff about Harley Davidson. Harley Davidson. Like, there's a big, huge campaign. The new president and CEO is very much into the diversity, equity stuff, inclusion. So they're calling for a Harley Davidson boycott. Now I hear Dunkin' Donuts. They won't advertise on Rumble because it's too conservative and right-leaning. So now people are talking about Dunkin' Donuts. You know, if you're on Rumble, if you listen to our show and you listen to Rumble, you buy Black Rifle Coffee. I mean, get, you know, good, and go to Hooters quickly before they close. Before the show's over, I need to dig into Hooters a little bit. Sam, can we show some pictures at least while we're talking about it for the YouTube channel? So, yeah, I mean, you have options for motorcycles. You have options. It's just a world gone nuts. And Anthony, I'm pretty sure you will not believe in boycotting things. And I disagree. The older I get, the more I understand it. I'm like, the only way to make
I don't believe in boycotting things.
I don't know. I just picture you.
I did. We had this article, or this was in, I think we still had the podcast, but Coca-Cola had those employee training videos on how to be less white.
I do remember
Kellogg's,
that.
And there was a bunch of other stuff, and then I stopped buying Coke products. I think I can count them all in a couple of hands.
All right. Maybe it's just the universal basic.
You, however... You were the one who made a huge thing of it, and then I was like, I'm pretty sure you just bought a 12-pack right afterwards. So I was,
oh, yeah. I'm a hypocrite.
To see you actually boycott or...
I'm not going to buy another Harley-Davidson.
...with your dollars.
I'm too... They won't let me into Dunkin' Donuts because they said I'm too large. I won't buy another Harley-Davidson.
I think a lot of the reasons when people have these boycotts and they're in the news, I think a lot of it's over dumb reasons. I think the Bud Light one was incredibly stupid. But to each their own. But if people are going to do it, you know, commit to it. I hate when everybody says how angry they are and how upset, and they're going to do this and they're going to change and do it, and they don't do shit about it.
We're getting close to the end. I'm glad we didn't get to any more articles because today we actually got to talk and air stuff out of here. I do hope people get angry. You know what the one good news is? We don't get enough time each week to tell you this. We have solutions. I'll give you an example. We're going to help you with how to pay down debt. We're going to help you with how much gold and silver to look at getting and how to get it. We're going to help you with where to go to get it. We're going to help you with how to do CD alternatives through insurance companies, where instead of 1.17% coverage on your money, we're going to get you 100% coverage on your money. We're going to show you how to gift to your kids and your grandkids up to $18,000 a year, you know, a year now. We have ideas for you. We're going to help you get lifetime income. We're going to help you with financial planning, sprinkled in with a little end of the world planning if you sit with me. So enjoy. With that said, Anthony, you want to take us out?
Yeah, if you want to reach out to us, team at Another Money Show, find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can book appointments with us or reach us directly from the website. Remember, there's no minimums, no cost for appointments, nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Do you want a steady stream of income for retirement? Then it's time to consider annuities. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. Gone are the days when most employers offered pensions with guaranteed lifetime payouts to their workers. But what if I told you that you can build your own personal pension? It's possible with an annuity. An annuity is a financial product that provides a series of regular payments to an individual over a specified period of time, often for the rest of their life.
There are several options for you to consider when choosing an annuity. Be confident in knowing that there is an annuity out there that can meet all of your needs.
Ford Stokes is founder and president of Active Wealth Management and author of the book Annuity 360. There are several different types of annuities, including fixed, variable, and fixed indexed.
A fixed annuity offers a specific guaranteed interest rate on their contributions to the account. A fixed index annuity is an accumulation-based product offered by an insurance company. The growth of your fixed index annuity is dependent on the performance of a chosen stock market index, but your money is not actually invested in this index. This offers you great growth potential and exceptional protection for your investment.
While each can provide tax-deferred growth and a lifetime income stream, variable annuities put your principal at risk in the market.
If you are currently investing in a variable annuity, your funds could be in serious trouble if the market experiences any downturns.
With so many possible choices to consider, it's essential you speak to a financial advisor or professional to help you make the best decision for your future. So, are you ready to consider an annuity as part of your retirement plan? It's a key question to consider as you approach what should be your golden years. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure. Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.